Blog Talk Radio.
Football podcast. I'm your host and the commissioner of King for a Day, Rick Goreski, and with me tonight is a very special guest, the owner of the Meat Puppets, Steve Wellman. Welcome aboard, dude.
Good evening.
You know, I had a nice line. I had a nice intro worked out for you. I wanted to say that you are known as the King Kong Bundy of the golf course, because every time you hit a shot, you don't say four, you say five. King Kong Bundy always demanding the five count back in the day. Tell you what, let's talk King for a Day. I am so excited about the draft. We're about 32 hours out and counting to the start of the Gothic Conference draft, really 31 and a half hours. And I'm so excited about this year because we have this element of uncertainty that has been missing in the past several years. Some people felt the league was getting a little stale, and it's anything but stale this year due to the league's decision to try both an offensive, kind of a trial basis, an offensive and defensive flex position this year. I think it's going to be crazy, whereas in the past we kind of knew what was going to happen. I think all bets are off this year, and so much could happen.
Yeah, I was kind of torn. I mean, I used to like the format of King for a Day, where it was my quarterback against your quarterback, my running back against your running back, my running back against your running back, and so on and so forth down the line. But, you know, I'm not a hermit. I understand that nowadays it's very tough to get your hands on 24 solid running backs. So, you know, the first six or eight teams that can pull down two running backs clearly have an advantage over the rest of the league or the rest of their opponents. So, you know, while I always enjoyed the different type of strategy, I think I can almost start to use some of the strategy I use in our Dynasty League here as far as setting up lineups and whether I want to start one running back and three wide receivers or a running back, two wide receivers, two tight ends. It's different but the same.
Well, the interesting thing, and we're going to dive into those offensive flex lineups in just a little bit, but I think a key comment for everybody to understand is that, number one, this isn't permanent. We're just giving it a try. A lot of owners have asked over the years to have some kind of flex position added. But the problem when you only add one flex position is that you're kind of mingling in the market and you're picking winners and losers. If you say that everybody has to have one running back, but that some teams, if they want to have two running backs, they can. People are still going to go nuts at trying to get two running backs. Some guys will take even more. And what you've done is you've created an artificial premium on that position by doing that. And some people aren't going to get one. So to make a long story short, when it comes to the offensive flex, I think the ability to just free everybody to use whatever's best for them is just incredible. We do it in the Dynasty League that we're in, Steve, you and I. We know how cool it is to have that freedom. And you don't get that freedom in a lot of leagues, not in this way, not where it's wide open like this. So I think that's what I am craving as an owner, is the ability to just do whatever's best for me and my team in any given week and to kind of take the shackles off. I loved the head-for-head. I was the biggest advocate for it for years. It's not the league's fault. The league rules were great, and the league rules still work. The NFL changed. The NFL changed their rules. I mean, teams that do the running back by committee and do three wide instead of, you know, it's all been at the cost of the running back. And there's not a lot we can do. There's not enough wide receivers to just force a third wide receiver. And like I said, if you're going to do one flex, you're actually picking winners and losers. If you're just going to do one, then just open it up and do all four and let everybody use what's best for them. Why force me to use a running back if I don't have one?
Right, and also let the people know that this league is 16 years old. It was first in 1999 or 98. And while every year we've gone through and tweaked things, the main structure is 16 years old, and we all know that in 16 years of anything, things are going to change, and there's going to be some, you know, definite paradigm shifts in that time period, and I think we've just addressed that.
Well, and again, because I do still think the traditional way that we run the league works. It does technically work. It just takes a lot of strategy, and it's difficult. It's not easy. To me, that makes it fun. But at the same time, we're going to try this for 1 year, and we're going to see how it goes. And if we decide this is more fun to do it this way, then that's what we'll do. And if we don't, if enough owners vote no, it'll reject and go back to the standard old way. So real excited to see where that goes.
I can't imagine going back. I personally believe, and everybody I've talked to, think that this has to be the way it goes. It's just the NFL has evolved into a dimension where running backs just aren't the guys that they used to be, and wide receivers have taken a step forward, and we need to go along with that.
But
adapt
I think
or
some
die.
Some people might not be able to deal with that freedom, and I'm saying that in a polite way, not a demeaning way. All leagues have some type of structure to it, and it blows people's mind when you tell them that. Yeah, you know, those four offensive positions that you did, just pick four of what you like. What? Oh, no, you mean I need to have this, right? No, I mean, if you have four wide out, go four wide. If you have, you know, three running back and one wide, do it. You know, do whatever's best for you each week. And that's the part that I think some people might not adjust to so well, and they might just crave that standard, old-fashioned, reliable way of playing the game. So I'm really interested. I'm fascinated to see what's going to happen. And I myself am waiting to see how I'm going to feel about it. I know I like it in Mad Dog, but that's a whole different league.
Well, in the way that we have it structured, like you said, where you're not just doing one flex, you're opening it all up. If somebody wants to go ahead and build their team like they've built it for the last 15 years, oh, they can still do that. It's just I think the way that we've done it now, in my opinion, there was a certain unfair advantage when you got so far in the draft and you started looking at what type of running backs were left over. And you knew inevitably there were going to be two or three teams that just had no shot of getting any production out of that area. While on the same token, having wide receivers sitting on their bench that they can't play. So.
No, agreed. And I tell you, just before we dive into that, there were two points that I wanted to bring up. We've kind of started into this offensive flex discussion right off the bat, naturally. But I did want to mention draft boards. Steve Wellman, if people don't know, has been helping us print our draft boards the past several years. And recently, Steve and I have been talking about finding ways to move towards permanent draft boards, kind of a dry erase board. And Steve, would you tell everybody about the possibilities that you've recently found out about and researched for the league? We're going to talk about that at the draft, but go ahead and foreshadow it for everybody.
Well, it's doable. What we can do is we can print large 36 by 190-inch boards and laminate them so they can be dry erased. And so, you know, every year we can use it, and you can take a picture, file that picture away, and wipe them clean and use it for the next year. And then it's just a matter of making simple placards for every team, and you just put them in the draft position that they're in, and it's something that, you know, can be used over and over again.
Yeah, and I want people to know that it would be kind of the same setup as what we've been doing. The draft board would look the same, but instead of having to print a new one every year, we reuse what we get a reusable board. And you just don't know. Steve's been nice enough to help us make this happen. Before Steve, Mark Kellett was helping us make this happen. Sometimes your resources dry up. Sometimes it's not like they own the companies and they're able to just do this every year. You know, it's time to think about maybe making permanent boards so that we don't run dry, so the well doesn't run dry.
Well, and there's also another little side benefit, and I don't mean to pick on anybody, but when that owner gets up in the 17th round and puts a name up there that's already been drafted four rounds before with a dry erase board, you can simply wipe that name clean and put a new one in there instead of trying to read what they're trying to put in because they realize they made the mistake of picking somebody already picked.
Oh, the mental scars will last, and we'll make sure of that. Follow-up comments, too, I want to say about the games that we're going to play at the draft. Every year we play some football games. Super Bowl 45, I've got a DVD recap of Super Bowl 45 year, and I also have purchased a DVD of the Ice Bowl. It features some Packers history, and it supposedly features the network feed of the actual Ice Bowl. So I'm looking forward to that. I had a request for the San Francisco game where Wayne Simmons clocked Brent Jones to start off the Packers kind of like, hey, we're here, we're championship worthy, that run with the Favre White gang. So those are right now what's lined up, and we'll have other games too for guys to pick from. But let's kick back to the offensive flex. I just needed to get that little house cleaning out of the way. Let me set the table for people by saying in the league, if you're not familiar, we always started one quarterback, two running backs, two wide receiver, one tight end. That was the standard offensive part of the lineup. What we're saying now is that we're going to allow teams, and you know, you still have to start one quarterback and one tight end. That's mandatory. But whereas you used to start two running back, two wide receiver, you're now going to be allowed to use four offensive flex, which consists offensive flex will consist of a running back, wide receiver, or tight end. So in lieu of two and two, you now get four of anything. So I say anything, but I mean you can't use a quarterback, of course. It's running back, wide receiver, tight end. Flexibility is incredible.
It definitely allows you to do different things. And it actually takes a lot of pressure off. You know, sometimes you're sitting there somewhere through the first couple of rounds wondering, do I grab my star receiver now or do I grab my backup running back? Well, go get that star receiver, man, because you can use them now.
That is the classic instance as I think about how is this going to affect the draft. And I've thought about this. I've done mock drafts. And what I've found is subconsciously, as a guy who's been in this league for a long, long time, you get into that third, fourth, fifth, sixth round, and your mind is telling you, you got to get that second running back. If you don't get that second running back, if you didn't already get it, you better hurry up and get it because the well's going to run dry and you're not going to get one. You're going to really be struggling to fill that spot. And now when you get to that spot and your mind starts to tell you, oh, I might have to get the running back, you can stop and say to yourself, as you said, I don't need to go get that running back. I can go get one of the top 12 wide receivers, top 15 wide receivers. I can go pick up a stud tight end, even if I already picked up a stud tight end, because I can start two of them on any given week. It's just great flexibility, and I am waiting to see what it's going to do in the draft.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Actually, it'll be interesting to see whether or not those people that are part of King for a Day that are also part of Mad Dog versus those that are just King for a Dayers, if those people kind of can pick up on what's going on. See if they can adjust their instincts, because we've been doing it for years. You know, I mean, when even though this is a redraft every year, but even in Dynasty, when you're looking at your rookie drafts, you know, you're looking at, you know, if I've got two or three good running backs, maybe I'm just going to draft all potential wide receivers, you know. So I'm looking to see whether or not if any lights come on upstairs for those people that don't aren't accustomed to that type of format.
Well, I'm waiting to see if running backs still go early, as they always do. I still think quarterbacks will still go early. But when it comes to running backs and wide receivers, I almost wonder if guys will take wide receivers over running backs for a period of time. You know, whereas before they were kind of forcing that running back because they felt the need to get it, and some wide receivers would fall. I almost think, like, maybe some guys are going to be grabbing some of those. There could even be a major tight end run, because if you think about it, you have four spots to fill, right? What's one of the easiest things to do in King for a day? It's to get a tight end that's going to put 40 yards in the box score and get you 3 points. So if you need a fourth offensive flex or somebody to cover as your fifth offensive weapon, grabbing a tight end might not be a bad idea. So you might see tight end runs earlier than what you normally saw. And that's kind of the strategy that I'm just really excited to watch for.
And I don't mind letting this cat out of the bag for anybody who has a chance to listen to it before it goes, we go live on Sunday. I'm interested to see how many people start gravitating towards the stud defensive players, knowing that they can, in the later rounds, grab themselves three quality wide receivers. They don't have to necessarily worry about that second or third really good running back. I mean, you know, I've seen some drafts lately that use IDP like we do, where J.J. Watt's going number one overall. And I'd be interested to see how that plays out in our league.
Well, it's a great segue, because defense is what we're about to talk about next. And in addition to the offensive flex, we're adding a one-year trial for defensive flex in our lineups. In the past, you had to start two defensive linemen, two linebacker, two defensive back. Now, what we are going to do is you will start one defensive lineman, one linebacker, one defensive back. Those are mandatory, one of each. And then you're going to get three defensive flex. And the defensive flex position will consist of any defensive line, linebacker, or defensive back. And to your point of defensive players are going higher and higher naturally in the draft as far as the impact players, but now there's a new wrinkle, because now not only are defensive players still valuable and you can still, you know, try to win on defense, but now you can start an extra impact player. Instead of starting that second defensive lineman that we traditionally have started, we're going to replace that second defensive lineman spot with a DL, LB, DB flex. And let's be honest, no one's going to start a defensive lineman in that. They're all going to go linebacker, defensive back. And to me, that's...
You think, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's important for people to realize the underlying reasons why we are sampling with this defensive flex lineup. And for years, some teams chose to carry almost no defensive backups. And most of the league carried a full slate of defensive backups, but some teams felt that they could carry extra offensive players with those backup defensive roster spots. And over time, more and more owners started to do this. And others took note that as more people did this, more defensive talent was available in free agency. And it got to the point where last year and the year before, you could pick up starting linebackers and defensive backs all the way through the end of the regular season. And people took note of that, and owners are adjusting their strategies, and they stopped drafting backup defensive players. I mean, why bother if you could dive into free agency in week 10 and get a starter anyway? And the majority, it was okay when only a minority of the league was doing this, but now with the majority of the league doing this, the effect was less offensive talent in the free agent pool. Teams used their defensive spots to hoard offense is what it came down to. And teams that had injuries on offense couldn't get adequate replacements because the teams were hoarding the offensive players. And since everyone started doing this, there's really no natural penalty to deter this behavior. The balance of the league got screwed up. And, I mean, if you could just pick up a defensive starter in Week 10, why not take the offensive guy? So that's where the trial rule comes into play. By turning one of those defensive line positions into a defensive flex, we're assured that teams are going to carry at least 12 extra linebacker or defensive backs compared to what they used to. And at least half the teams are going to carry a backup linebacker or defensive back, you'd think. So that's, you've moved 18 defensive linebacker defensive backs that were sitting there in free agency potentially onto someone's roster. And that's a good thing because it helps rebalance the league. So Now that I said that, Steve, do you want to comment on how you think this is going to impact the draft, to go back to your thought? Because now you've got, you know, it's supply and demand. As more players are sucked out of the pool, there's more of a demand for players. So people, I think, are going to draft not only higher on defense, because now they could hypothetically start four linebackers, but I think they're also going to be conscious of the fact that there's less defensive talent sitting there.
Yeah, I don't know that it's going to have that much effect on the actual free agent pool as much. I think when I was there when we were discussing it, and I kind of thought to myself, you know, when we took the requirement of two defensive linemen out, I think people will definitely maybe draft more linebackers, but now they also have two spots vacated by not having to have another starter and somebody to cover bye weeks. I'm not sure that that's going to translate into less offensive hoarding, as you call it. But I could be wrong. I just don't see it. What I do see, though, is that there's going to definitely be a lot less of those high-scoring linebackers and defensive backs just sitting in free agency.
Well, yeah, you're correct. That factually, my terminology was a little off in the sense that the number of defensive players will remain, but people didn't care about that number two defensive lineman. It was the lowest scoring position in the league, and nobody carried any backups hardly. And that's what's going to change, is now they can turn that lowest scoring crap position into a linebacker or a defensive back. And that is going to make people grab more of those impact players out of free agency. And when you don't have talent sitting there, you're going to be more prone to make sure that you have proper backups on your team. Whereas if there's a starter sitting there, what do I care? I'll take the offensive player. And that's where I think it's not going to be night and day, but I think it's going to rebalance things.
Well, I mean, I hope you're correct. I'm not quite as optimistic. I think there's going to be some change. But again, like I said, if they weren't carrying a backup for two defensive linemen, then they're not going to carry a backup for one defensive lineman. So really all you've done is really you've opened up another spot for people to fill. And, you know, if you're looking at we also know that linebackers in this league also outscore defensive backs. So we know that that everybody's going to gravitate more towards linebackers. And I think there's going to be more of a need for people to want to keep backups, like you said, but I don't think it's going to be that monumental shift that you're optimistic about. And I hope I'm wrong, but I can see myself in those people's positions saying, okay, well, maybe now I'll have to have one spot for my backups, but I can still hoard one offensive player and still do the same shit as I did before.
I can't wait to see what's going to happen. The reason why,
yeah,
I believe it so strongly, though, is because you're taking what used to be 12 starters on defense. That's one starter on each team as your number two defensive line, and you're transferring that into a linebacker or defensive back. So at a minimum, you're going to get 12 players sucked out of that pool. And people are going to recognize those 12 players have been sucked out, and they're going to grab a back. At least half the teams will grab a backup, in my opinion. You're up to 18 players out of the pool, linebacker and defensive back. And I think that's what's going to be the difference, is that that's back the way it used to be when over half the league did take more backups before everybody started going to the strategy of, you know, hoarding offense with the majority of their defensive positions. Everybody does a little bit of that, but it just, the pendulum shifted recently. And I do think linebackers, that's the big key here, is do people go on a linebacker run early in the draft. That's what I'm going to be watching, because you always have your Keekly and David. Those big impact linebackers are going to go early all the time. If somebody starts to go linebacker, linebacker, or three or four linebackers are off the board, I do think we're going to see a run. Just like I think there could be a tight end run, I think there's going to be possibly a man dash at linebackers.
Yeah, I mean, I think there will be some kind of shift, but I don't think it's going to be this great balance that you're hoping for. And I'm not sure if it will actually take effect this year, because I think we've already admitted that there's going to be a fair share of owners that just don't grasp it yet, that don't understand what's going on until it's too late, and then they're just going to be forced back into their old habits.
Steve, let's go ahead. We have 4 minutes left. Let's predict the draft for each conference, starting with the Gothic Conference. And let's just take turns going back and forth with pick one. I'll say one, you say one. Damage Inc. has the first pick in the morning draft, the Gothic Conference. I'm going to predict that he takes Andrew Luck. I think he might have taken Rodgers before the Nelson injury. I'm going to predict Andrew Luck.
Number two pick.
Aren't you going to weigh in on number one? Who you think's going first?
Well, no, that's a very solid pick. I think a lot of the pundits are talking now that going with a quarterback in the first round is foolish, but I don't think that they're really taking into account what quarterbacks there are. So I think, you know, Luck and Rodgers are probably still worthy of a first round pick. So I would say that the second rounder is either going to be Aaron Rodgers, if Luck goes, or somebody like Jamal Charles or Adrian Peterson, because you still want to have that prolific scorer, and they are one of those.
Damage Inc. always likes quarterbacks early if they're really, really good, and he's in a position to take one. So I think Luck or Rodgers is good at one. That's just a guess. Make It Rain, Pete Tarantino, I think he'll take Rodgers. Made Men is third, Kurt Thrasher. I'm guessing Adrian Peterson there, that he'll grab with the two quarterbacks gone. I think he would gladly take one if they were there, but I think he'll take Peterson. A little too early for some of his favorite Cowboys, but I think that's where it'll go.
Yeah, and then after that, I think you're probably looking at another power running back, Lacy or Charles. I wouldn't be shocked to see Antonio Brown go pretty early. Especially now with the problems that Pittsburgh has with their Le'Veon Bell's out and Bryant's out. So look to see Brown's at least early season production increase. So I could see that happening.
A couple minutes left, so let me roll through it. My prediction for the fourth pick, A team, would be J.J. Watt. My prediction, D-risk, taking with the fifth pick, Antonio Brown. Sixth pick, Muskego Raiders. Mark Kellett's going to take Eddie Lacy, is my guess. Seventh pick, 4U2NV with Andy Borkowski. He'll take Jamal Charles with a deal at seven. Eighth pick, Brian Getter's Wolfpack, Marshawn Lynch. Ninth pick, Brian of the Old Helm Ogres is going to take Dez Bryant. My pick for Tom Pillwriters will be Luke Kuechly. He loves the defenders early.
He loves the linebacker.
Yeah, Ken Bannier, I think, is going to get a steal with Le'Veon Bell at 11. And Kirk Kajawa will finish it off with Beckham at 12. Over the Renaissance Conference, I'm going to throw my predictions out, and then you go ahead, Steve. I'm going to guess Irishman. I'm hearing he's going to take J.J. Watt first overall. Steve, your pick is next. I predict Andrew Luck. No idea where it'll go. Gracie's got Game, Brian Frams, I think he'll take Rodgers. Bierman's Brawlers, Gar Nelson, I think he'll take Adrian Peterson. My team, the Gators, would be looking at Le'Veon Bell at five. Mike Thomas's Phantoms, Jamal Charles. Kenosha Commandos, maybe Gronkowski. Eight, the Typhoons, maybe Marshawn Lynch. Lost in the Sauce, Tim would be looking at Eddie Lacy. Dirty Hippies, Bill might take Levante David. The Saints, Corey Manvilla, Luke Kuechly, and Champs of Chaos would potentially be Dez Bryant. Do you have any thoughts on Renaissance?
Just that I'm not going to give anybody an idea of what I'm picking at the second. And I like the fact that you threw Gronkowski in there. I was surprised you didn't have him going out in the Gothic. His points over replacement are off the charts. I expect to see him go in the first round in Gothic as well in Renaissance.
I think some of the owners that would have taken him are just not going to want to pass up the running backs, because remember, the mix of ownership is always more conservative in the morning than the afternoon.
Sure.
Well, Steve, we got 10 seconds left. I want to thank you very much for joining me today. That's going to do it for the pre-draft preview episode of the King for a Day podcast. Thank you again to Steve Wellman. I can't wait to see everybody this coming Sunday. I'm all jazzed up. Until then, I'm Rick Goreski saying thanks to everybody. It's time to
Good
wind
night.
Her down. King for a Day.